Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of the laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. We are in the penultimate sermon of the series, the last but one, which is resurrection of the dead. I hope by the end of the series, we should be able to memorize the six of them. Not so difficult, right? Especially nowadays, with so much memory that goes into our smartphones that we don't even use our memory at all. It is getting so wasted out. Why don't we use that memory in memorizing the scriptures? So let us take that as a homework for us to memorize these six elementary principles that we have been learning: repentance, faith, baptisms, laying on of hands, and resurrection of the dead today and the next week. God willing, we'll conclude it with eternal judgment. Let's read this in Hindi. इसलिए आओ मसीह के शिक्षा की आरंभ की बातों को छोड़कर हम सिद्धांत और बढ़ते जाएं और मरे हुए कामों से मन फिराने और परमेश्वर पर विश्वास करने और बाप्तिस्मों और हाथ रखने और मरे हुओं की जी उठने और अंतिम न्याय की शिक्षा रूपी नेव फिर से न डालें. Let's read it in Telugu as well for those of us who understand the Telugu language. Kabatti nirjeeva kriyalanu vidichi maru manasu pondutayu devuni yandali viswasamunu baptismamulu gurinchina bodayu hasta nikshepanamunu mrutula punarudhanamunu nityamaina teerpunu anu punadi marala veyaka kristunu gurinchi moolapadesamu mani sampurnamautaku sagipodumu. May the Lord bless the reading of this word. I hope you have read at least one of the languages, if not all the languages. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we have come here with a desire to learn more about you, to know you, and to be able to love you more because we get to know more about you. Today, as we continue our meditation on the elementary principles, especially taking the fifth one, the resurrection from the dead, I pray, Lord, that you may speak to each one of us. Lord, the way in which you have been teaching me, I pray, Lord, that each one of us may be able to learn, Lord, not my words, but let your words that you have taught me be coming from my mouth for the edification of the body of Christ. For we ask all this in the precious name of our dear Lord and our beloved Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus, the you in Jesus, J-E-S-U-S. Before you were thought of or time has begun, God had stuck you in the name of his Son, Jesus, J-E-S-U-S. U.S. And each time you pray, you'll see it's true. You can't spell out Jesus and not include you. You're a pretty big part of his wonderful name. For you, he was born. That is why he came. And his great love for you is the reason that he died. It even takes you to spell crucified. Crucified. It is for you that he died for you. Because the word crucified also has the letter U. Isn't it thrilling and splendidly grand? He rose from the dead with you in his plan. The stone split away, the gold trumpet blew, and this word resurrection is spelled with a U. Resurrection. If you didn't know, the resurrection has the letter U because the sermon notes that you have has that as a heading. It is spelled with a U. When Jesus left the earth at his upward ascension, he felt there was one thing he had just to mention. Go into all the world and tell them it's true that I love them just as I love you. So many great people are spelled with a U. Don't they have the right to know Jesus too? It all depends on what you will do. He'd like them to know, but it all starts with you. And one of the words that we are going to take today is the resurrection, which has the letter U. The resurrection happened because he had you in his mind. Resurrection of the dead. What is this resurrection of the dead? The word resurrection seems to be a very tough word to understand. The simple meaning of the word resurrection is raised back to life or raised up. That is what the resurrection means. In Telugu, it says punarudhanamu. And today, on Sunday, when we gather together, it is also called Resurrection Sunday. You know why it is called Resurrection Sunday? Because Jesus rose from the dead. He was raised back to life on the third day after he was buried. And that is what resurrection is. The word resurrection is one of the elementary principles that you and I should learn. Should be able to believe the basic things that you and I should believe. The basic beliefs of a Christian includes resurrection of the dead. There were two sects in the Jewish group of people. Two sects. One were Pharisees and the other were Sadducees. It's sad, you see. It is sad, you see, that they don't believe in resurrection. Luke chapter 20. Luke chapter 20. And verse 27, as I read, notice this, listen to this carefully. Now, Luke chapter 20 and verse 27. Now there came to him some of the Sadducees who say that there is no resurrection. It's such a sad thing, my dear. And they questioned him, saying, Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a mother's brother dies having a wife and he's childless, his brother should marry the wife and raise up the children to his brother. Now there were seven brothers, and the first took a wife, died childless, second and third married her. In the same way, all seven died, leaving no children. Finally, the woman died also. In the resurrection, therefore, the ones who do not believe in resurrection, they're asking or posing a question to Jesus Christ, saying, in the resurrection, therefore, which one's wife will she be? For all seven had married her. So they were questioning because they themselves do not believe in resurrection. Verse 34, Jesus said to them, the sons of this age marry and are given in marriage. But those who are considered worthy to attain to that age and the resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor are given in marriage. They cannot even die anymore. What is this definition of the resurrection from the dead? They cannot even die anymore because they are like angels, are like sons of God, being sons of the resurrection. But that the dead are raised, even Moses showed in the passage about the burning bush, where he calls the Lord, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob. Now he is not the God of the dead, but of the living, for all live to him. Jesus is trying to explain to these people the importance of understanding resurrection. And then verse 39, some of the scribes answered and said, Teacher, you have spoken well. For they did not have courage to question him any longer about anything. What a wonderful God we have. Jesus Christ, he came into this world and he answered the questions of the people, especially what they were really being concerned about or worried about. Maybe you are in that particular situation right now. Do you believe in resurrection of the dead? Maybe you believe in Jesus Christ. Maybe you believe in spiritual life. But do you believe in the resurrection of the dead? Do you believe in that? Because that is a basic elementary principle of a Christian. They are basic ones. Not only should you have repentance from dead works, not only should you have faith toward God, not only should you testify in baptism, not only should you be able to experience the laying on of hands, but also you should be able to experience or be able to believe in the doctrine of the resurrection of the dead. What is this resurrection of the dead? There are various ways in which people try to explain this resurrection of the dead. Notice this carefully. There are people who died and they were raised, whether in the Old Testament or the New Testament. There were people who died and they rose again. Whether it was Elisha or Elijah's time, or in the New Testament time when Jesus was on the earth, people who died were brought back to life. They were brought back to life to die again. There's a difference. They were brought back to life, but to die again. You know, Lazarus, he was brought back to life, but to die again. But here, Jesus is saying, this particular resurrection of the dead, they cannot even die anymore. This is a resurrection that this particular doctrine is talking about, which is the resurrection unto life, eternal life that he's talking about. It is not about the resurrection or raising of a person who died back to the earthly life so that he might die again. That is one way of trying to explain, but the resurrection of the dead is something beyond it. And some people try to explain resurrection of the dead from spiritual perspective. They say, spirit. My spirit was dead when I was born, and God quickened me, and my spirit was alive. I've experienced resurrection in my life. Spiritual resurrection they talk about. But there is much more than these two that we are going to learn about, which is bodily resurrection. Do you believe that? Very hard sometimes to be able to believe something like that could happen. But the Bible says that there is a bodily resurrection as well. And that is what we are going to learn from the scriptures. And this particular scriptures that we are going to learn about talks about many important principles that you and I can learn. Let me share with you. In the Old Testament, there were many instances where the people believed in resurrection unto eternal life. Whether it was Job, whether it was Daniel, whether it was Isaiah, many places they talk about the resurrection of the dead unto life. Many people don't believe. They don't believe in life after death. This seems to be a term that probably a lot of people tend to use in a secular world. Resurrection of the dead seems to be a very doctrinal word, but life after death, do you believe in life after death? And that is what you and I should be able to understand here, that there is life after death. Many times we tend to just take it lightly, but this is one of the important things that you and I should be able to learn about the life that is existing after that, as it is mentioned about in the scriptures. Is there life after death? There was a man by name Randy Alcorn. In his book, In the Light of Eternity, the author imagines two twins having a conversation in their mother's womb. This is an imagination. Follow with me as I tell you these words. There was a conversation, it is an imagination again, in the mother's womb, between two twins that were yet to be born. You know, one says, there's a whole world out there, grassy meadows, snowy mountains, splashing streams, waterfalls, horses, dogs, cats, whales, giraffes. There are skyscrapers, cities, and people like us, only much bigger, playing games like football and baseball and volleyball and going to beach. Are you crazy? The other twin said. That's wishful thinking. Everyone knows there is no life after birth. The other twin was saying, that's wishful thinking. Are you crazy? There's no life after birth. It is a conversation between two twins. Many times, that imaginative story that is being talked about is our own kind of a story, where when it is talked about the life, about eternal life, eternal blessings, heaven and all that, we'll say it's wishful thinking. Is there life after death? Is there really life after death? Maybe you have that question, or maybe some of your friends have that question. You and I should be able to recognize this important thing, that we have a God who has promised life after death as well. Don't think that the life here on this earth is done with. There is something beyond. New Testament is filled with resurrection. The concept or the theme of New Testament is resurrection. Without resurrection, we cannot even read through this, the New Testament, especially when it comes to Jesus Christ, resurrection. And he's the firstborn among the resurrection. And so you and I should be able to recognize. Gospels, for example, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, talks about resurrection. We just read Luke chapter 20, where Jesus himself was talking to the Sadducees about resurrection from the dead. There's a lot that is talked about in the Gospels themselves about resurrection. In addition to that, even the other books after the Gospels talks about resurrection. Just as a glimpse of it, I just want to share with you. If you are good in turning your Bible, let me challenge you. Try to open your Bible. I'm not talking about the digital ones. I keep telling the verses. You turn your Bibles and take a look at it. Acts chapter 1 and verse 22.
Acts chapter 1 and verse 22, it says, beginning with the baptism of John until the day he was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. The whole New Testament, the gospel is tied around resurrection. Try to read the Bible keeping in mind resurrection. Your life itself will change because there is so much that is talked about resurrection. Acts chapter 4 and verse 2. Verse 1 and 2. As they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to them, greatly disturbed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And again we see many more scriptural portions in the book of Acts. Many times, Paul the apostle talks about the resurrection. He tells the people that they need to believe in the resurrection. In the resurrection that is so essential in our lives as well. In the book of Acts. And now let's go to Romans. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 and verse 4. It says in verse 3 and 4. Concerning his son who was born of a descendant of David. According to the flesh. Who was declared the son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. Romans talks a lot about the resurrection from the dead. Romans chapter 6 talks about the resurrection of the dead. And then 1 Corinthians also, the book after that, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the whole chapter talks about resurrection. We are going to meditate upon it very soon. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 talks about resurrection, the whole chapter as such. And then 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 14, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 14, it says, knowing that he who raised Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will present us with you. He who raised Lord Jesus. Very important thing that you and I should be able to recognize here, that it talks about the resurrection. Even when it comes to Galatians chapter 1 and verse 1. See, Galatians chapter 1 and verse 1. It says, Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised Jesus from the dead. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 20. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 20. Who brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Talking about resurrection. And then in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10, it says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18, it talks about the firstborn from the dead. And on and on and on, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 10, it says he raised from the dead who is Jesus. I'll stop there. If you want, you can keep reading through the remaining books of the Bible as well. Today, we are going to meditate on one chapter, which is 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I don't know how many times you read this particular chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, but it talks about resurrection. Maybe you might have heard this particular sermon on this particular chapter in funerals most of the time. Many people may be busy about many things that they may not have concentrated upon it. You and I should be able to understand this concept of resurrection. Today we are going to delve deep into this particular chapter, which is resurrection chapter. If at all you want to call this chapter, the whole 58 verses primarily focuses upon resurrection. Resurrection. Let us see. There are two questions that are primarily being asked. We are going to look at that. But before that, I want to read a few verses in chapter 15. Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you. I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you. The gospel. What is gospel? The word gospel means good news. As simple as that. Good news is also the word that is used is gospel. Suvartha. Shubhavartha. That is gospel. Here, Paul the apostle is saying, the gospel which I preach to you, by which you are saved, in verse 2. That you hold fast the word which I preach to you, unless you believed in vain. The gospel by which you are saved, and the gospel if you hold fast the word which I preach to you. You need to hold fast to the gospel that is being preached. What is this gospel? He immediately explains what is the definition or the gospel that he is talking about. Verse 3, notice this very carefully, my dear. Every one of us, let us concentrate upon what I'm reading right now. Look into your Bibles. For I delivered to you as of first importance, which I also received. You need to give to somebody only after you receive it. You cannot give it to someone if you haven't received it. So I'm asking you, have you received it? Have you received the gospel? Maybe you heard the gospel. I'm not talking about hearing the gospel. I'm asking you, have you received the gospel? What is this gospel? Good news. It says in verse 3 that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. If you want to define what the gospel is, this is how it has to be. Because Paul the apostle has described it. He has been preaching this gospel by which he's saying you will be saved. And he said, the gospel includes this first statement, Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. According to the scriptures is to be able to fulfill what the Bible talks about. The Bible says, without shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Without shedding of blood, not even the Bible, the many other so-called books that are written, also mythological books that are written, also mention the statement, without shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And the only one, the pure blood that was shed for the remission of sins is none other than the blood of Jesus Christ. Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures. Do you believe that? If you believe that, that is part of the gospel that you believed. Just a part of the gospel. That is not the full gospel. What does it say? First, Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. And then in verse 4, and that he was buried. And that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. If he was not buried, people might say he never died on the cross. He was just hanging on the cross. He was just sleeping on the cross. He was buried, my dear. He was tied up the way in which they used to do that in those days. Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried. And then on the third day, according to the scriptures, he was raised. That is the resurrection. He was raised from the dead according to the scriptures. Okay, he was raised. Then what? It says in verse 5, he appeared. It's not just silently he raised and went away. No. He is God who came down into this world to die for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and he was raised again on the third day according to the scriptures. And he appeared to more than 500 people in verse 6 at one time. And many occasions he has appeared to various people including Paul himself. That is the introduction of the gospel. We need to be able to explain the whole gospel. Don't just stop at saying Jesus died for you. Jesus died for you. Yes, it is good. I'm glad you're telling that. But that is not full gospel. Jesus died for you is partial, my dear. It seems there was a youth gathering that was happening. And this young preacher came forward and started preaching. And D.L. Moody was sitting at the back. He was hearing what this young preacher was preaching about. And he was talking about Jesus died for us on the cross. Jesus died for us on the cross. And he said, I will continue tomorrow night. The second part of it. D.L. Moody came and said to him, I don't know how many are going to be alive the next day. You finish the whole gospel. Don't just tell partial gospel and tell that you will tell the remaining the next day. There is something that has happened after Jesus died. And that is very important. And that is, he rose again from the dead. That is resurrection from the dead. That is where our faith relies upon. Just saying Jesus died for you, is not a complete gospel, let me tell you. Here, he was very clear in telling in verse 3 and 4 that Jesus died for our sins and he was buried and he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. That is the whole gospel. Why did he die and why did he rise again from the dead? So, with that in mind, we are going to look at two questions. Two questions. Verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 12. It says, now if Christ is preached, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? You can write down in the blank, resurrection of the dead. 1 Corinthians 15, 12. 12. The verse is 12. There's a first question there. He's asking a question. How do some among you say there is no resurrection of the dead? Very important question.
Maybe there are some of us sitting here who do not believe in the resurrection of the dead. Do you believe in life after death? If not, maybe this message is for you. Do you believe? If yes, this message is for you so that you may be strong enough to be able to tell others, in order to be able to let them also, help them also to believe in the resurrection of the dead. And here he says, how is it that some of you say there is no resurrection? Verse 13. But if there is no resurrection of the dead, now let us fill in the blanks. First thing that we can talk about is the testimony. The testimony is Christ, verse 14. If Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is vain. The first thing that you want to note it down is, if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen, right? If there is no resurrection of the dead, that's why I put a question mark. Because a lot of people do not believe in life after death. If Christ was not, if there was no resurrection of the dead, first thing is, Christ is not risen, question mark, exclamation, meaning, how could it be possible if there is no resurrection of the dead? And secondly, he says in verse 14, our preaching is vain. I'm standing here. The preaching is vain if there is no resurrection of the dead. And then he says, your faith is also vain. Please read in any other language. Verse 14. Meaning it's useless. It's useless. Any other language? 14. Yes, your faith itself is vain. Forget about the ones which we learned, repentance from dead works, faith toward God. That faith, it becomes vain if you do not believe in the resurrection of the dead. So your whole faith is dependent on resurrection of the dead, especially the resurrection of Jesus Christ himself. Do you believe in that? Do you believe? Oh, you might say that, yeah, I believe Jesus rose from the dead. But do you believe in the concept of the resurrection of the dead, for which Jesus Christ became the first fruit? Your faith also becomes vain. That's what the Bible says here. And then he continues and says here in verse 15, notice this carefully. Moreover, we are even found to be false witnesses of God. Oh, that is also a terrible thing. The whole New Testament talks about being a witness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You and I, who are believers in Jesus Christ, we are witnesses of the fact that Jesus died for us. He was buried. He rose again from the dead. Now, if there is no resurrection of the dead, our witness is also a false witness. And you will be a false witness against God. Because if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Jesus is not raised from the dead. These are the, you know, another way of trying to look at it. If somebody says, why should I believe in the resurrection of the dead? Then a cross question is, why should you not believe in resurrection of the dead? Why? Because if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Jesus was not raised from the dead. Then if you are telling that we are all false witnesses. And then he says in verse 16, for if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You are still in your sins. Wow. These are terrible statements that Paul the Apostle is talking about. Verse 17. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, it says in some translations, or worthless. Vyardham. Mi viswasamu vyardham. It has no value at all. Worthless. You are still in your sins. That means it is not about just belief in Jesus Christ, but believing that Jesus died for you. He was buried and he rose again from the dead. That is what makes your faith worthy. And also, you will not be in your sinful nature. You should believe complete gospel, my dear. Don't believe in partial gospel. Don't just say that Jesus died for me. Jesus rose again from the dead. That is why Easter is so essential in our lives, to be able to recognize the resurrection. And not just Easter, every Sunday we meet together in order to be able to remember the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Weekly celebration, victory celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then notice here about verse 18 and 19.
There is something that happens related to your hope as well. Not only your testimony, not only your faith, but your hope as well. Verse 18, it says, if there is no resurrection of the dead, then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. Those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. The Bible says in John chapter 3 and verse 16, but whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. So now if there is no resurrection of the dead, then we perish. We perish in the earth itself. There is nothing that will happen. A lot of people tend to say that, I don't believe in life after death. People die, they are buried, done with. That's what he is saying. Those who are asleep in Christ have perished, died and perished. And verse 19, if we have hoped in Christ in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied. We tend to hope in this life only. No, our hope is not in this life, my dear. Our hope is the life after. Many times we hope in Jesus Christ for this life. Oh, I hope that Jesus will give me a new job or a new thing, or you know, will answer my prayer for this life. Many times our dependency is only on this life. Your hope, if you have hoped in Christ in this life only, we are men most to be pitied or miserable. Miserable people. If you are hoping in a God who will take care of just your earthly life, then we are miserable people, let me tell you. And I'm just quoting from what the Bible says. Don't just hope in a God who takes care of your earthly life alone, but hope in a God who has promised eternal life because of the resurrection of the dead. Because of the resurrection of the dead. And now, he brings home the point in verse 20. But, very important, how he relates the previous passage to this passage in verse 20. But now, Christ has been raised from the dead. He is affirmly saying, but now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. The first fruits, meaning he's the first one to come back to life, never to die again. That is the definition of the resurrection of the dead. The elementary principles that we are learning about is about the resurrection of someone to life where that person never dies anymore. That is eternal life. Here, Jesus Christ is the first fruits of those who are asleep. Very wonderful things that we can learn. Now, second question, my dear. We'll just skip a few verses. If you want, you can read it in your personal time. Let us go to verse 35. Verse 35, question number 2. Question number 2, verse 35, it's actually having two different parts of that question. But someone will say, how are the dead raised? And with what kind of body do they come? You can fill in the blanks. How are the dead raised? How? And what kind of body do they come? A lot of people have these questions. Let me tell you, the Bible itself has those questions and answers as well. Many times we tend to ask people, we tend to Google places everywhere, we tend to hear people talking about it. But the Bible talks about this question that you might have, or many of your friends might have. How are the dead raised and with what kind of body do they come? And immediately verse 36, the way in which Paul says, you fool, meaning you don't understand. Guys, many people have such kind of questions, the foolish questions, unable to believe in the resurrection of the dead, and many questions that they are unable to recognize. In verse 36, that which you sow does not come to life unless it dies. That which you sow does not come to life unless it dies. A lot of people say, oh, I'm reaping what I'm sowing. That's what people say. I'm sowing, because they know what is reaped and they know what is brought back out, the fruit of what they have sown. Even in our personal lives, in many of our situations, we tend to use this word, and even a proverb also that comes out, what you sow, you will reap. If you sow in tears, you will reap in joy. And many kinds of proverbs that come out of this kind of a verse that the Bible talks about. They which they sow, but which you sow does not come to life
until it dies. Jesus also mentions a place where he says, you won't get a crop until the seed is sown and it dies, that it will produce the necessary plant that you need to produce the necessary fruit and the grain as well. So there are two things that we are going to learn today in this as an answer to this question: sowing and raising. There is something that is sown, what is coming out of what is being sown. Verse 37, and that which you sow, you do not sow the body which is to be, but a bare grain, perhaps of wheat or something else. Verse 38, but God gives it a body just as he wished. God gives it a body just as he wished. It is not our understanding. According to his understanding, God gives it a body. And then we notice about different kinds of bodies. He says, verse 40, he says, heavenly bodies, earthly bodies. There are many kinds of definitions that he's trying to explain. The human body and animals' bodies, birds' bodies, and many kinds of things. He's trying to explain that there are different kinds of bodies. There's a glory of the sun, moon, and stars, and all that. Now let us go into verse 42. When he gives this earthly examples, he says, so also is the resurrection of the dead. I'm talking about the resurrection of the dead. I'm not diverting away from this particular topic that you and I should learn. And this is the resurrection of the body. The first thing that you want to note down is verse 42. It is sown perishable body. It is raised imperishable body. The first thing that you want to note, perishable sowing, imperishable raising. In some of the translations, it might use corruptible, incorruptible. Sowing corruptible, but reaping or raising incorruptible. Raising means resurrection. Something that you are sowing has to go under the ground. It has to be buried. All the old nature has to be buried. And the new nature should come out. Even in our spiritual lives also we say that. Even baptism also symbolizes that. So here, the word of God is saying, something that is perishable, our body, our human body, that is perishable, is buried under the ground. When it is buried under the ground, what is raised? Imperishable. Is that enough? No, he talks about something else in verse 43. What does he say? It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. Dishonor, it is all the flesh and dust and all that. That is dishonorable kind of a thing. When it goes under the ground, nobody wants to dig the grave and try to get something out of it. But it is dishonor. The moment somebody dies and they are buried, they don't even call he or she. They'll say it. Why? No honor anymore. As long as a person has life, they are given an honor. The moment they die, then they might do some final rites, but they will say it only. They will never say he or she. Dishonor. But what is raised? Gloriousness. Glory is raised. Glorious. And that is why people say he was promoted to glory. Somebody was promoted to glory, meaning they died, but now they are raised to glory. And then, sown in weakness, raised in power. That's the next one. Note it down. Sown in weakness, raised in power. Power, weakness, we are all the flesh and all that, we're living in weaknesses, all illnesses, all maybe sickness. You know, people die because of various reasons. And all that is done in weakness, they are sown, but they are raised in power. The power of resurrection. That I may know the power of the resurrection, Paul himself says. And then finally, verse 44, it is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. Not my words. The Bible says that. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. What is the spiritual body? I know spirit. I know body. What is a spiritual body now? It's a glorious body, my dear. It is a body which is imperishable body. It is not kind of the body that cells degenerate as we grow older. Our hairs become gray because our cells are degenerating. Many, many kinds of diseases come in our body as we grow older. And the moment the time comes, we are buried. Natural body.
the Bible says it is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. He's not just talking spirit. He's saying spiritual body. Please read in any other translation or language. Verse 44. Atma sambandhamaina sariramu. That sounds little oxymoron here. How can a spirit and a flesh be together, etc.? That is God's choice. God chose the body that you need to have the moment you are resurrected from the dead. That is why with that belief, Christians bury. Lot of questions happen. Should I bury or cremate? Lot of questions keep coming. With the belief that there is going to be a resurrection of that which is sown, that there it is raised, with that belief that is being talked about. It is not necessarily exactly that dust will turn out. We don't know how God in his sovereignty is going to decide. That's what I'm saying. It is not us to discuss more than what the Bible says in verse 38. God gives it a body. Enough. No more argument of it. Oh, whether we have this, should we wear clothes at that time? What will happen? Many, many, many kinds of questions that come into our lives. But let me tell you, God decides the kind of body that you should have. He just gave a glimpse of it by saying it is a spiritual body. It is a bodily resurrection. Remember that. Not just spiritual resurrection. It is a bodily resurrection. Many times it is confusing, but the Bible says that there is going to be a bodily resurrection. That is why the dead in Christ will rise first, the Bible says, when Jesus comes back. He is going to come back and the dead in Christ will first rise from the dead with a bodily resurrection. And that bodily resurrection, my understanding, the closest understanding to what I can understand about this bodily resurrection is the body of Jesus Christ when he raised from the dead. When Jesus rose from the dead, he had that glorious body. He had that honorable, glorious, spiritual, imperishable body because he never died again. Never to die again, but ascended into heaven. With that glorious body, he ascended into heaven. And he's going to come back to lift all those who are in Christ, those who are dead in Christ or alive in Christ during that time as well. He's coming back, my dear. Do you believe in that? That is basic. You know, I'm not talking about big mysteries here. This is basic, elementary principle. Sometimes we don't understand that. And that is why we are having these elementary principles back to school to remind or to help each other to understand these basic foundational principles. There will be resurrection. And Jesus Christ, his glorious body, he was able to pass through the doors and meet the disciples who were in fear. But at the same time, he was able to show the side and his hands. So this is going to be a mysterious situation as to what will happen. But don't tend to go deep more than what is mentioned in the Bible. Otherwise, you will get more theories in the internet. If you start learning, people will start drawing pictures as to how your glorious body will be. I don't know. Maybe so, may not be. I don't know. But the Bible says that you will have spiritual body. And that is what the greatest hope that we have. That with that body, with that understanding, a lot of people say, because we'll have that glorious body, people were able to recognize Jesus Christ. Though initially Mary Magdalene did not recognize Jesus Christ when she went on that Easter Sunday, the moment the voice came, then she said, Rabbi. She was able to recognize Jesus. So probably we might recognize the ones whom we love, our beloved ones who are dead in the Lord, probably we might see them again. Not to stress upon that, but could be. Because all that is important is that we will be with glorious bodies. But not with physical, the worldly attractions or nothing. Because we'll be like angels, the Bible says. We read that, Luke chapter 20. We will be like angels, heavenly bodies. All that we do is worship God, not talking about each other. It is about God. Not about the marriage relationships and all that. It's not about marriages and all that in heaven. But you might recognize each other, but your focus is on worshiping God because angels do that. Angels don't have that kind of relationship. But if you are like angels, you will have such kind of
attitudes towards worshiping and saying, "Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty." What a wonderful experience that is. Jesus is going to come back, my dear. He's going to come one day. Maybe today. Maybe later. I don't know. But when he's going to come back, he's going to lift us up into his fold. Do you believe in the resurrection of the dead? If so, we praise God for that. If not, why don't you? Because that is basic. If you are claiming that you are a believer in Jesus Christ, if you are a Christian, this is one of your basic beliefs, that there is resurrection of the dead. Otherwise, your faith itself is vain. If somebody doesn't preach about that, their preaching is vain too. The ones who are listening, it's a waste of time to come to church and listen and go, because where is the resurrection? If you don't believe in resurrection, your Christian faith is worthless. That is why every time you want to share the gospel with everyone, anyone, don't just stop at the fact saying Jesus died for your sins. Say that it's not just death. He rose again so that we might have eternal life. Do you believe that? If so, we praise God for that. And when you believe that, you will live out your life that way. We don't know how many years we are going to live on this earth, my dear. We might plan many things ahead of our life, but we don't know when is our last day. But are you ready? Are you ready to be able to be sown a natural body, to be raised a spiritual body? Those who are dead in Christ only will experience it. If you die without Christ, then there is something that we are going to learn next week, which is eternal judgment. Important things that we should learn. That is also important for us to learn. So while we are here on this earth, while the few years out of the eternity, this few years that we are spending, we have so many problems with each other. We have so many difficulties to connect to each other. We have so many difficulties to be able to relate to each other. Why? Why? Question yourself, my dear. We don't know how long we are going to live. But every day that God has given us on this earth, we are alive so that we may be prepared to be with him and also to live a life that is pleasing unto him. So make sure your relationships with each other are well established. Who knows what will happen to you or the other person? Don't tend to have any situations where you have hard feelings with each other. Doesn't matter what kind of relationship it is, because we don't know how long we are going to live. I spoke so much about death, but there is resurrection after death. Of the dead. But if you die without Christ, if you die with so much of hatred between people or relationships, whether it is near relationships or far relationships, maybe distant relationships, I don't know what kind of a problems you may be going through. Maybe family issues, maybe neighborhood issues, work-related issues, in-laws issues, distant family, siblings issues, many, many situations. Why? Enough of it. I think we should stop it and try to reconcile right away. Don't live on it, because we don't know what will happen to you or to the other person. What if something happens? You will regret for life, let me tell you. And we don't want to be in that situation. But believe in Jesus Christ. Come to him and maintain a life that is pleasing to him, so that when you are sown as natural body, you will be raised a spiritual body. For that, Jesus gave his own life for us, resurrection of the dead. When we take part in the Lord's table, we just not only remember Jesus Christ's death, but also remember that he has risen from the dead and he's going to come back again. I'm going to read that scripture when we are going to take part in it. It says, do this until he comes. That includes his resurrection, ascension, and second coming. So even taking part in the Lord's table, we should remember the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because he remembered the letter U, because the word resurrection has the letter U, that is you. Do you believe in him? If not, please do not go out of this place without having Christ in you. May the Lord bless this word. As we close our eyes, in remembrance of what Christ has done for us, let us take part in the table that is set before us. This table symbolizes the death of Lord Jesus Christ, but that is not the end of the story, my dear. He died for our sins. He was buried and he was raised again on the third day. That is the resurrection of the dead. Let's take part in the table.